All right, guys, so we're in lesson 17, so we're going to be in chapter 9 today. Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to focus on verses 1 to 15. And so he's going to again talk about, you know, he talked about the issue of generosity before. So now he's going to specifically talk about this offering for the Christians in Jerusalem. So I want us to look at verses 1 to 5, but before we do that, let's kind of get a kind of a background, a little bit of what we've talked about over the last 2 weeks. So I want you to think, we've talked about generosity from Paul's perspective. Anybody, if anything can that stands out to you from what we talked about, what is it for you? When we've looked at it, what stands out to you from what Paul's talked about? Okay. Yes. Okay, so Bruce, what you're saying, what stood out to you was that generosity isn't just for the church, but it's for work beyond the church. It's for individuals who might be believers or unbelievers. You know, it's being generous in all areas of your life. Okay, all right. Anybody else? Anybody else got a thought? What did you learn from it? Because we're going to wrap it up today. So let me kind of remind you. So he talked about generosity. He talked about it not being under compulsion. He talked about it being in proportion to how God has blessed you. He talked about the attitude of generosity, not worrying about helping somebody else, because when you're in a bad way, somebody will help you. He talked about selecting people, the importance of selecting people to carry the gift or to manage the gift. You know, he talked about a lot of different things. He talked about not wanting to, you know, impose his own needs upon them and so forth. So, can I ask you something? When you think about what Paul's saying, how does that compare to what you hear communicated today in Christian world in America today? How does it compare? Is he going in a different direction than what you've heard, or what? I mean, I told you last week about cards where you sign your name, you know what I'm saying, and pledge cards. Is Paul talking pledge cards? No. Well, why don't we progress on with this? All right, let's look at verses 1 to 5. So here's what Paul writes. Now, it's super frivolous for me to write to you about the ministry for the saints. For I know your readiness, of which I boast about you to the people of Macedonia, saying that Achaia has been ready since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. But I'm sending the brothers so that our boasting about you may not prove empty in this matter, so that you may be ready, as I said you would be. Otherwise, if some Macedonians come with me and find that you are not ready, we would be humiliated, to say nothing of you, for being so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to go on ahead to you and arrange in advance for the gift that you have promised, so that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an instruction. All right, so let's talk about this. All right. So again, he's getting back to reminding them about their commitment, and he wants to save them some embarrassment. Okay, so let's take a look at this. So Paul feels that he doesn't need to write to them about the need. So he's not going to spend his time talking to them about the situation over in Jerusalem. They already know that need. They've already committed. They already made a promise, okay? So he's not going to spend his time. You know, how many of you get tired of Christian fundraising letters? Do you guys get tired? I do, okay? Because, I mean, they keep coming and they say the same thing over and over again. It's one thing to get one, but to get one every 2 weeks, that just kind of is too much, isn't it? Okay? And somehow we've landed in this marketing strategy world that we live in, where we do that. Well, Paul says, I'm not going to waste my time marketing the need. I'm not going to tell you about the need. You already know the need, okay? It's super frivolous for me to do that, okay? So he points out that they already know about the need and their commitment to meet it. So they already know what it is. They already made a commitment to meet it, all right? They've already said, we're going to do this much. So here's what he did. The brethren were sent to encourage them to fulfill their commitment. Here's what Paul's doing. He's wanting to remind them. Somehow maybe he got wind of something. Maybe he got wind, they got distracted or whatever. But he didn't want to embarrass them. So what he did was is that he said, you know, we were going to come, and some of the Macedonian brothers were coming with us, because again, they would come with them because they're helping to carry the gift that's going to ultimately go to Jerusalem. And Paul's been in Macedonia saying, no, you know, our brethren over in Greece, all the way over in Corinth there, they have promised to do this much. They have stepped up. They're doing really good. Okay, so now they're going to come back through, and they're going to go through Corinth. And Paul knows, whoa, but if they're not ready, I'm going to be embarrassed. Because I've been going around talking about how great they are, how much they're going to give. And what if we show up and they haven't done anything? They haven't gotten ready at all. We're going to be embarrassed. The Macedonians are going to be embarrassed. And the Corinthians are going to be embarrassed. So guess what Paul does? He says, I'm sending the brothers ahead. Probably not the Macedonians, but some other brothers, like Titus or something, ahead to get you ready so that there won't be any embarrassment, so that you can fulfill your commitment. Now, let's stop for a moment. What is this a good attitude Paul has? I mean, some people would be like, well, if they're not ready, they're not ready, and that's their embarrassment. I'm not going to carry it. Is that the attitude Paul has? No, he's actually wanting to spare them, right? He's wanting to spare them. He wants them to fulfill. So here it is. He wants to spare them embarrassment when he comes with the Macedonians. So he's wanting to spare them embarrassment. I think, honestly, to be honest with you, this is a Christian virtue that's kind of missing today. Do you understand? We're so self-focused on me looking good, it doesn't enter into our minds to make sure my brother or my sister doesn't look good. We want them to be okay. Did you understand what I'm saying? So Paul wants to spare them the embarrassment, all right? He wants to spare the embarrassment that comes with the when he comes with the Macedonians. So here's his motive. He wants to give them the opportunity to give with the right attitude. That's pretty good here. In fact, I like the way he says it. Look at verse 5. Here's what he says. Being ready, excuse me, I jumped ahead to chapter 10. Go back to verse 9. So that it may be ready as a willing gift, not as an extraction. So he wants the gift that they give to be a what kind of gift? A willing gift. Now, what's an extraction? An obligation. So, yeah, like you owe it. Yeah, so if he showed up with the Macedonians and they weren't ready after he's been bragging about how they've committed themselves to give this much, and all of a sudden the Macedonians there, everybody's embarrassed. Now they're giving, is it willingly, or are they giving to save face, or are they giving because they have to? That's an extraction, right? He wants to spare them that opportunity. He wants them to be ready to give their gift because it came from their heart, not because, oh, wow, Paul's coming. Well, we've got the Macedonians here. He's been bragging about us. We gotta do this. I don't know if we should. You know what I'm saying? So he's trying to get them to approach it from a better way. So notice again how many times Paul has done this over the last, even in chapter 8, he's talking about giving that is what? Willing, not by compulsion. Because if you are forced into giving, your heart's not in it. You know what I'm saying? Not at all. All right, now let's go on. We're going to look at verse 6 now. Look with me at verse 6 through 7, okay? 6 through 7. Here's what he writes. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. All right, so let's take a look here. Let's talk about the issue of giving. So he's going to give us first a principle of giving. So the blessing of God is proportionate to the level of giving. So he's just kind of giving a general principle here that God's blessing on your life is proportionate to